All right, I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter number 3, Psalms 3. This week we are returning to the theme of remaining faithful during difficult times, and I honestly did not have this message planned when all the news began to really take a sharp dive this week. This was the second part of the message from last week from 2 Timothy, really, where we were looking at how things fall apart in the world, on a spiritual level, with apostasy and immorality. But this week I wanted to take and look a little closer at a world that falls apart on a more personal level. What happens? What do you do when it is your life that is falling apart? The circumstances are becoming very difficult in your lives, turning our attention away from the problems of the world, and more to the problems that we face in our own lives. We should all feel the pressure that comes from the world seemingly spiraling out of control around us. But there are times when our own lives as individuals or perhaps as couples or as families seem like they are spiraling out of control. And our text today in Psalm 3 gives us a glimpse into the life of King David when he had that very experience. And there is much encouragement as well as challenge for us here today in Psalm 3. So let's look at it together. Beginning with verse number 1, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Father, we ask that your Spirit would come now and bless the reading of your word and open the eyes of our hearts so that we would see Christ, first of all, in this text, see his glory, his goodness, and his grace poured out to believing sinners. We pray that you will help and enable us to understand the meaning of this passage, of this psalm, and apply it to our lives so that we are transformed into the image of your Son. We ask all this in his name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where it seemed like the whole world was against you? I mean, the deck is stacked against you. It's you against everyone else. I think probably we have all felt like that at some point in our lives. Maybe it was the sting of betrayal when someone you loved and trusted turned against you. Or maybe it was a choice that you made that had unexpected and certainly unintended consequences. You spent some lonely nights wondering if things could get any worse. Maybe it was a strained relationship in the family that caused a major division. Maybe it was something at church or situation at work or even a legal matter that had you pressed against the wall and left you wondering if God would move on your behalf. And I think we've all been there. If we haven't been there yet, we will be there eventually. Because it really is a common human experience to feel at times alone, to feel at times as if you're the only one who would stand in your favor. You are the only one who will stand for what is right. And this is why the Psalms resonate so deeply with us in our darkest and most alone moments, because they reflect that common human experience. The Psalms are filled with raw prayers of desperation that express the gamut of human emotion. But as fallen humans, our default instinct in times of trouble is not trust in God. Our default instinct is worry, anxiety, and fear. And we all know that. The uncertainty of the future can be overwhelming. It affects our moods. It disrupts our eating and sleeping patterns. And brothers and sisters, when it feels like the world is against us, Psalm 3 gives us some settling truths that will anchor our hearts to Christ when all seems lost. So let's look at them together, and we'll use the three main headings that you have in your bulletin. And note, first of all, that our battles drive us to the Lord. The title of Psalm 3 gives us the experiential context from which it was written. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. This episode in David's life is recorded in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. And this is certainly one of the darkest seasons of David's life, and he had a few. He was betrayed by his own son, who pursued him with the intent to capture and kill. Now, we've all had some tough battles in life, but probably not like this. And the first thing that we need to see here is that the battles of life come to the rich and the poor alike, the powerful, the powerless. David was king of Israel, the anointed one, when his son Absalom conspired against him. You see, our status and our position or our wealth or the amount of power that we have makes no difference when trials come. He says at verse 1, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. And Samuel actually gives us the details behind David's lament in 2 Samuel 15, verse 13, when he says, the hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. Then David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. David watched his own son turn his own people against him, who then pursued him to kill, to take his life. Complete with the claim that he was even abandoned by God. Verse 2 says, many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation. There is no help for him in God. This points us to 2 Samuel 16, where we read this text here, verse 7. Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, talking to David. You worthless man, the Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. The man who spoke these words was from the house of Saul. And he claimed that David was suffering under God's hand for taking the kingdom from Saul. That was his view. Now, this was a false assumption that David's enemies were making, that God had abandoned him, that he was suffering. He was reaping what he sowed. You can hear it now. Have you ever been in that kind of situation where others stood against you and pretty much wrote you off as a lost cause, even abandoned by God? But more importantly than connecting this text to us, we need to connect it to Christ. King David, who was a type of Christ, points us to the experience of Christ in his own life as he experienced rejection and false accusation. David's own son sought to overthrow and kill him, but Christ experienced even a much deeper rejection as his own creation, even his own people, rejected him and eventually put him to death. So in our own battles, in our own experiences of rejection, we can not only identify with the psalmist, David, most importantly, we can identify with Christ. Take refuge in him, knowing that he is intimately acquainted with all of our sufferings. And so then the most important words in Psalm 3 are really the first two. O Lord. You see, our battles drive us to the Lord. They bring us so low that there is nowhere to look but up and to cry out to our Father in heaven. This is exactly what Jesus did. It's what David did here in his darkest night. O Lord, it's exactly what Jesus did in his darkest night, in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before his crucifixion. Matthew records that Jesus fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father." Friends, the first thing that we have to do when we find ourselves in a battle, in a place of uncertainty, in a situation that seems out of control, is to fall on our face and cry out, "O Lord." But unfortunately, the first thing that too many of us do is turn to Google or Fox News. We cry out, "O Lord." Google cannot help us. Fox News cannot help you in your personal life. But the Lord can help you. We have to turn away from our fears and uncertainties and look up to heaven, where our Heavenly Father rules and reigns over every detail of our lives. This is a place of total dependence on the Lord. When you come home from work one day and there's a note, a letter on the table that your spouse is leaving you for someone else, you don't know what to do, where to go, and perhaps your spouse has slandered your name and spoken things about you that were not true, and your own family has turned against you. What do? You fall on your face and you pray, "O Lord." What do when you go to the doctor and the report is frightening? You're diagnosed with something that it cannot cure, that will take your life. What do? You go home and you fall on your face and you cry out, "O Lord." The second thing we see here in Psalm 3 is that our help comes from the Lord. So our battles drive us to the Lord, but our help comes from the Lord. Verse 3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." You see, we just can't let our fears run wild in times of trial and battle. We have to confront them with truth, the truth that God is our help. He is our shield. He is our protection. He is our glory. You see, so when others make false assumptions about us or false statements about us, we glory not in us and ourselves. We glory in Christ. Our reputation is of no value to us. Our identity, our glory are in Christ, not in the opinion and the assumptions of others. You know, sometimes we are so concerned with our own reputation that we would do anything to defend it. But let's face it, no one wants anyone to think badly about them. If truth were told, probably some of us in here have lost sleep at night worrying about what someone else thought about us. It drives our identity into the ground. We start to look inward and we see all these things that people have made assumptions and inaccurate statements about, when in reality, if we are in Christ, we stand before a holy God, justified, wrapped and clothed in the spotless righteousness of Christ alone. That is our glory. That is our identity. Romans 8:33 said, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." I want you to think for a moment about the Apostle Paul who wrote those words. He hated and murdered Christians. He was a murderer. But in his grace, God rescued Paul from his self-righteous rebellion and transformed him into the most important figure in the New Testament outside of Christ himself. It was this man with a profoundly dark past who found his glory in Christ alone. So there is grace here for us. When David says, "You, O Lord, are a shield about me. You are my glory." The next thing he says in verse 3 is that God is the lifter of his head. This is a Hebrew phrase that expresses confidence that God will act on our behalf. So brothers and sisters, do not be afraid of what is going on in your life right now. God will raise your dejected gaze from the ground and act on your behalf, because he is using your battles, whatever they may be, whether it's a financial struggle or a relational struggle or a health struggle or an emotional struggle internally. He will use your trials to work in you something for your everlasting good and his eternal glory. So David says then in verse 4, "I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill." This is a cry of desperation. We see his experience recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 15. David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered. From the Mount of Olives, you can look over and see Zion. You can see Jerusalem, the hill of the Lord. And David knows his God will answer. And once again, his experience points us directly to Christ, who in Gethsemane, which is on the Mount of Olives, prepared himself for the final offering that he would make of his own life on Calvary. And he knelt to his father and said, "Let this cup pass from me." Have you ever been to that place of desperation in prayer? Well, you can't really even manage to utter any words, but you pray harder than you ever have without ever saying a word. And you emerge from that dark place with certain faith in God, who is still and always will be sovereign over your life. That's exactly what happened to David in Psalm 3. In verse 5, he says, "I lay down and I slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." You see, when David abandoned his battle to the Lord, his fear was replaced with sweet sleep and security. Sleep is a position of ultimate vulnerability, is it not? That's why we lock our doors at night and install security systems with cameras everywhere. We have this instinctive insecurity when we sleep. But David says that safety comes from the Lord. Psalm 4:8 says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." And this security leads to courage. Down in verse 6, he says, "I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around." Listen to this, setting his words in their historical context. Once again, from 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic. And all the people who are with him will flee. I will strike down only the king." You see there? Absalom's men, 12,000, had planned to attack David in the night. But David says, "I will lie down and sleep, and I will wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves around me." It may have seemed as if David was surrounded by his enemies, but in fact he was surrounded by God. And this is how we respond to difficult circumstances. This is how we fight our battles. We put our trust in the Lord alone because we know that he will accomplish his purpose for us regardless of what surrounds us. Our help comes from the Lord. The last thing we see in Psalm 3 is that our rescue comes from the Lord. Verse 7 says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked." This is David's ultimate plea, that God would arise. Now I want you to picture with me for a moment, as best you can, the King of the universe sitting on his eternal throne until he hears the cry of one of his children. And then the king rises up and with one breath erases those who seek to destroy his people. This is David's God. This is David's Lord. He knows his rescue is not going to come from military might. It's not going to come from tactics and strategies to defeat his enemy. His rescue is going to come from his God, who will grant him victory and restore him to the throne on which the true king, the Lord Jesus Christ, will one day reign. I want to make a very important distinction here. God acted on David's behalf. He granted victory against Absalom. And he restored David as the anointed king of Israel. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, our earthly circumstances don't always end in a resounding victory. Sometimes our battle ends in death. But here's the point. We abandon ourselves to God. And if he is pleased to vanquish our enemies, all glory to him. If he is pleased to use our suffering for a greater purpose and glory, or if he is pleased to let whatever circumstance we're in lead to our death, this is how he takes us home, so be it. To live as Christ, to die as gain. It always ends well for those who put their trust in the Lord, no matter the temporal outcome of our circumstance. And so we end then with the glorious declaration of verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Rescue and salvation from our trials will not come from confidence in the flesh. Salvation belongs to God. He saves and delivers according to his sovereign grace and purpose. Revelation 7:10 says, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." God is on his throne. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world has been raised. And ultimate and final victory is the destiny of all who trust in him, because that is what Psalm 3 is really all about. Trust. You can look around you and see circumstances falling apart. Your bank account may be sitting in the negative. Your health may be getting worse every day. Your family may be growing further and further apart. You may be having more difficult times at work. times in your life perhaps have been bad. Maybe they will get worse. Will you trust in Christ alone, who lived a perfect life, died in your place for sins, and rose again so that you and I could be reconciled to God? Or will you put your trust somewhere else, in some temporal relief? The Apostle Paul continues in Romans 8:31, he says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" What are the all things here in this promise? Health, wealth, deliverance from every trial, healing from every sickness. That's what the TV preachers would have us believe. That God has promised to deliver us from every single trial, that everything will always end with a happy ending on earth. But that is not what this text is promising us. The all things that God will graciously give us is spelled out in the remainder of Romans 8. He said Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And then here's the glorious text. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, there's the uncertainty of the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The all things in this promise is peace with the holy God, sustaining grace in every trial, sustaining grace, and the infinitely inseparable love of God in Christ. What Paul details in Romans 8, King David summarizes in Psalm 3:8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. His blessing be on his people. This is our hope in difficult times. Let's pray.